Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So maybe the gap is that maybe they feel that the way we are training is not practical, probably. Sometimes we feel like this because we take small units because these are learners. So can you hear me?
Ma'am, what did you say? You take small units?
Small units, no content units.
Huh?
They might want the teacher to perform more because they are depending on our teachers also to finish some of their work. No?
Right.
So when we tell them, they say like, why are you taking only so much? You take the whole chapter. But the whole chapter cannot be taught by these youngsters in 30 minutes.
Right.
With asking questions, with using engaging activities, with using teaching aids, following the pedagogical structure that we give.
Right, right. Yes.
So while they might think that you need a little more pace in what you are doing. So they're probably have to bridge that gap.
Right, right. Okay.
So we've tried. What we have done is we have told them, why don't you give the whole chapter and give us 3 or 4 periods? Then that student will be finished. Why don't you sit and tell us feedback? So now a lot of school teachers course also has allowed them to guide a few students. 2 or 3 lessons are along with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called co-teaching with the school teacher.
Right, right.
This has helped in a way.
Okay.
So what happens then, the reality is not that those teachers, they give the lesson and they're very kind to them. So they...
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So what you were saying...
Yeah, suppose the teacher is paired, suppose I'm paired with you.
Yes.
And when I come back, you don't really give me great feedback because you're a very busy one.
Right.
Two, you become a mentee, you know, a kind of very empathetic towards the new teacher.
Right, right.
So you may not give her the feedback that she requires.
Got it.
Or you may give very hard, harsh feedback that, you know, so that balance of going, talking to school teachers and telling them, we're doing that. All our teachers are going in. We also made notes. A nice letter to the school, a nice letter to the teachers, saying this is what we expect. We're trying to bridge the gap.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's easy to bridge that
gap. Right, right. So, ma'am,
but I think from the first year to now, there's more warmth, there's more understanding. They have started looking at as assets rather than inclusion.
Yeah.
Because we are there for longer time. Yeah.
Time to build that into the system.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
But it is now much better. Because now they see as valuable. They're not just coming in for a week and running away. Or we're not coming only for 3 days. We're there for 11 weeks.
Right.
Sometimes 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So they find it useful.
Right, ma'am. Got it. And ma'am, what challenges do you and your colleagues face with respect to your own tenure, salary, opportunities that you should get with respect to teaching or mentoring or feedback giving? What are the challenges that you face?
I think government salaries are not bad.
Okay.
The government-aided teachers are well paid.
Okay.
We get our promotion all done according to the rules, and that's not an issue.
Okay.
But I think, like for example, PhD, you're doing so much work.
Hmm.
And you are doing PhD guidance.
Hmm.
So as a tutor, you don't have time to do PhD guidance. And that is free. You are expected to give so much time to your PhD students.
Right.
And you are not paid.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah, it's a salary job.
Right.
And that way, maybe even travel for teachers is around 800 rupees. Which in Mumbai and in monsoons and all, you're going to different part of schools. Sometimes you end up spending more from your pocket.
Mm, right, right. And ma'am, in terms of opportunities,
opportunities are less. What is the vertical you can go up?
Right, right.
Vertical you can go up is you be a assistant professor, associate professor.
Okay.
And then you're a professor or a principal, which takes good 10, 12 years for you.
Okay.
And the course is so heavy that even putting your papers together, you don't get time. Some of my colleagues are now due for professorship.
Hmm.
They don't have time. Time only to come and put the papers.
Right.
So there is linear growth, but nothing like challenging. Because in India we don't have this admin line and teaching line separate.
Yeah.
Like in Singapore.
Yes.
You have those streams,
Yeah, yeah.
Strands. So you could pick those strands and move up the ladder.
Yeah, ma'am. And with respect to NCT regulation, do you think they are very rigid, or do you think you can,
very rigid.
Oh.
Very, very rigid and unreasonable.
But reasonable is what you're saying.
Not reasonable.
Oh, not reasonable. Okay.
See, you cannot say that you want the so you. If you look at the qualifications, you want MA, you want MED, how much qualifications you want from an MED person, from a teacher educator? You want pedagogy also. Now, of course, what they are saying is you can appoint some teachers who are MA in economics, suppose, or MA in English, but within 5 years they have to get an MED or an MA in education.
Got it. For the pedagogy.
So, you look at the trajectory of a teacher, educator.
Hmm.
She studies a BA, that's 15 years. Then, you go for MA, master's in the pedagogy.
Hmm.
Then you again do a 2-year MA. And then you do a PhD also, you have made compulsory.
Too much.
You just look at the length of the time she's studying.
Right, right.
So double post-graduation requirement, and within 5 years you fulfill the PhD also and the MED also, is tall task.
Yeah, yeah. And all of this along with teaching.
Along
with teaching, yeah. And then with reference to the affiliating body, I mean, you're affiliated to University of...
Not even along with teaching. Now they're saying PhD at entrance level. An appointed teacher, she should be an assistant teacher, she should be a PhD.
Oh my God. Okay.
So it's very sad.
Yeah.
So a teacher who comes to me, she has done a post-graduation. She has done an MA in education or an MED. And she has to finish PhD also, so naturally she's going to race through that PhD.
Of
minimum 3 years, she's going to just finish. So PhD also becomes just for the sake of a degree, and not for research purpose.
Right. I mean, any challenges from Mumbai University which you might face? I mean, timelines, allocation of students, quality of exams?
Mumbai University only challenge is galority.
Challenges is what?
It's a galore of challenges.
Probably.
No, I'll just say that Mumbai University, technically we don't have any issues, but look at that, CET, for example. The CET exam is government, and Mumbai University is connected to it. So the CET is so delayed. If you have to start in June, you take students in October, you missed a semester, but you allow all those semesters somehow, 90 days, somehow you show. So you show the day you begin your admission. But admissions are not really over. So the day you technically start your admission, you start counting the days, and 90 days are over. And you allow a 1.5 month course. So this batch, which came in March, is giving its exam in May.
Oh, okay, got it.
So you're allowing all these things to happen and find that difficult.
So in terms of timelines, it's a huge issue.
Yeah, it's a huge issue.
Yeah.
In terms of time.
Yeah. And ma'am, what is your view on this newly proposed 4-year program? What do you think would be the challenges, or, you know, how could it improve?
I was a part of the syllabus making with Padma.
Sorry?
So, I was on the curriculum to prepare the curriculum. I was one of the members with Padma ma'am.
Oh, how perfect. Oh, perfect. Mm. And this is the question you talk about.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, 4-year program got good potential, no doubt.
Okay, okay.
It seems good.
Hmm.
But the question is, there isn't enough research done to know from countries that have done this what is their experience. Because what little we hear, like there is in Finland and Singapore,
right,
and Israel, is that students prefer the after graduation 2-year program. They don't like to get blocked at 12th. To decide teaching as a profession.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm.
So I think there is no much research done before we are plunged into this. But multidisciplinary concept is very good.
Yes. Okay.
So that they are placed in a larger college.
Mm.
Also sustainability wise, very, very small colleges like 50 students with so much infrastructure is definitely practically a difficult thing, proposition for government.
Right, right.
So, you know, you have such a big infrastructure and they're not getting the multidisciplinarity environment.
Mm-hmm.
And you're living in silos. That's a challenge.
Yeah. But ma'am, do you think it will, you know, improve the quality of teachers?
No.
No?
I personally don't think, because you will be reduced to a small department there.
Sorry ma'am, what will happen?
I'm so sorry. This is so bad, my call. Okay, you will be reduced to a department, right?
Right.
So you're like any other department, whatever you will deliver, you will deliver. And you're just one of those departments. Now at least these colleges have specialization. They've been doing it with a lot of, faith that the whole community depends on us.
Mm-hmm, got it.
For its teacher. So if the principal, who is not from education background,
mm,
of a general college,
mm,
will not going to give you any great priority.
Right, right, got it.
You are going to be another department there.
Okay, okay, got it.
So I see that you will get merged. It's not, you're not doing anything. No. But if the curriculum that we designed, NCT didn't take, we designed it with so much pain and so much of sense, the multidisciplinary comes in.
Got it.
But they took the NCRT. So unless the curriculum is made in a way that all the multidisciplinary that we're talking of is connected vertically, horizontally, you are back to look at the colleges which are running 4-year B.Ed. There's a 3-year B.Ed in Sati College.
Yeah, yeah. So, ma'am, that was my next question. So, do you think these 1 or 2 year B.Ed programs should continue, or what should then be done if not for a 4-year course?
See, I believe in diversity. I don't think that everything can be centralized to one program. This whole country is very diverse.
Hmm.
And there are different needs.
Right.
So you should have the 4-year program. You should have the 2-year program. You should have a 1-year program. Have all kinds.
Got it. Oh.
Every population should be able to pick up what they need. No.
Right.
The current government thinks that everything should be one.
One, yeah. Right, right.
So that is where they want to simply, in the process of simplification, you can't do away with diversity, no?
That's true. Yes, ma'am. That's a very, actually a point that we need to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I discussed this with Padma. I also agreed that she, of course, no, she's the brain. You must.
Right. So, ma'am.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's, you know, working with her, it gives you a lot of insights.
Yeah, yeah. Too good.
And also, what, like, with respect to your institute, what will your take be on, you know, the composite program?
See, composite, now they are not talking of only. The word composite means I can, I have applied for 4-year BEd, I should be able to get it.
Right.
Yes. And I should run it along with my 2-year. Then it's a composite.
Right.
Now they're talking of, they've done away, I think, technically with composite. They're talking of integrated, that is multidisciplinary setup. Meaning, if you're not in a space of a...
Hello?
They're not talking of composite now. They have not given us permission. Everything is on hold.
Oh.
So
that means the 2 and the 4 year can't run together, is what you're saying?
No, no. I think we can run it together.
Okay.
But it is contradicting their NEP. NEP says multidiscipline environment, correct? Now, I'm a B.Ed. college, specialized in education.
Right.
But I have a neighboring same society. I have a BCom BA college.
Right, right.
So I applied for 4-year BA BEd course. So I said, in case they do not give me, challenging me that composite programs are not allowed.
Right.
I will argue that we have a in the same campus. We have a multidisciplinary environment.
Right, right.
So that is the argument. But there are many colleges in Bombay equally good, like Xavier's. Because Xavier's, although they have the Xavier BEd College, Xavier Degree College, it's not the same management.
Right, right.
They're two different entities. So how will they join? We can join. So when you say that you if you are allowing B.Ed. college to do composite courses, we are not very clear. Do they want us to start B.Sc. classes also or B.A. classes also?
Right, right.
We don't have the bandwidth and the infrastructure to start B.A. classes also. So we can tie up with our neighboring college, neighboring means same college, and offer a BA BEd. That they do part of the degree part is wherever they are learning the BA BEd course, where the discipline inputs come. The discipline inputs can come from my co-college, the college which is within my campus.
Got it.
So the multidisciplinary environment I can maintain. That is what I'm arguing. We can maintain.
Got it.
But when we applied for the program, we applied as a composite program. That means we are not doing any transdisciplinary or multidisciplinary. We are a B.Ed. college. We have 2 years B.Ed. Now give us a 4-year B.Ed. also.
Right, right. Okay, ma'am. Okay.
Now I have started writing letters to MCG saying, look, we don't not only have a composite, we are capable of composite, we are also capable of multidisciplinary. But there are colleges who are as good as mine who don't have a college attached to them.
Got it.
So what do they do?
Right. Got it.
They're stuck.
Yeah.
So they are saying that allow us to MOUs. Principles that allow us to do MOUs with these colleges where we will, you know, send our students to some class through them in online mode. It's a possibility.
Right.
I can even try for TISS, no, to give me the interdisciplinarity.
Yes, yes.
And I can be done online.
Online.
So maybe even NCTIS will start rethinking. They will have to,
And I'm just to end, I was just thinking, because it's pandemic, you know, how has COVID affected like your working conditions for BEd and difficulties that and your students might face?
The physical social connect is really missing.
Hello?
The social emotional is really missing.
Ma'am, your voice is breaking a little.
The socio-emotional connect is missing.
Yes, yes, that's true.
Okay, it's terribly missing. Last year before batch, we missed them in the end. But they said 3 semesters. The next batch, at the beginning with them, and then they went into lockdown. This year, we have not seen them once. Just on admission day.
Right.
So, very, very sad. But we are doing a lot in terms of teaching is not in any way we have reduced standard. We have trained our own teachers to develop skills. We are using all kinds of platforms, all kinds of methods. We are trying to do the student engagement, even, what you call a lot of constructivist approaches. But nevertheless, we are not feeling satisfied at all.
Right.
There is a lot of teacher dissatisfaction because they can't see the student. They don't know what is happening on the other end.
Right.
So,
and in terms of there students, what do you think could be the challenges?
In terms of students also, I think there is distance. They don't know. They talk well. And a few of the girls are very active and things like that. Are we reaching out? Are we empathetic connect? Is not there, is missing.
You know, so that group, that's what engagement also, right? Engagement with your
students. Engagement is hit in a big way.
Ma'am, and in terms of technology, so,
technology, we have, it's not bad. Because all our 50 students are not so badly off. They have bandwidth. They have connectivity. And we have also told students that if you have any issues, college, you can come for those important days. But everybody has the mobile and everybody is, none of them have complained. We have taken a survey. Everybody is comfortable with laptops.
And ma'am, in terms of medical issue or economic issue, you think your students are like, or even your faculty for that matter, are they okay or are they facing any issues?
No, staff doesn't favor. Maybe one staff is a male, but he's not on the regular payroll. We're short of staff, so he's been appointed by management. Maybe, but they are not, I don't think any student, there are around maybe out of 50, 5 students who really can't pay fees and they pay in installments. We give them that. They have insurance, means we take insurance for them, health insurance.
Okay. Health insurance for your staff?
Students.
Students also?
Students.
Okay.
Staff we don't take.
Students.
And we give them enough time to pay their fees. And they have those EWS, so they get scholarship money from the government. So that's a lot of work. We spend a lot of time on training students, helping them to fill their form so that they get their money.
Okay. So, ma'am, overall, if I ask you, how has COVID affected, what would be your, the brief response in terms of...
I would say it has affected quite heavily.
Quite badly, okay.
Quite badly, because teaching and training is not about, just giving some knowledge. That's why I'm against this UGC also, blended learning, do 40% what are you converting teaching and training into online kind of it requires engagement, requires reflection, it requires discussing with your teacher on a one-to-one.
Yes.
And it does not happen online the way it should be.
Yeah.
And it's also not only one teacher to one. See, what happens is the ethos, the college, the infrastructure, the 10 teachers or 7 teachers who are engaging with you, sometimes we sit in lectures behind, workshops behind, each of us is giving our viewpoint. I think the whole ecosystem makes that teacher.
Right, right.
Which has been hijacked by the corona.
Yeah, that's really sad, ma'am.
Yeah. I would say, because we're not hit, it is hit. We're doing our best, every day lectures are going on as regular, we are going into schools, our schools, we were very happy with the way we connected to all the schools and placed the students, they gave online lessons last year.
Okay, ma'am.
And during online lessons, we had challenges like the connectivity would go away. What happened? A student in Virar, there are no 3 days electricity. She's giving a lesson with a lesson. 60 students are looking at you and that school teacher is looking at you. What do you do?
Got it.
Then we started a buddy system within the groups. So we said, one buddy of yours knows your lesson and has your textbook. She's not going to train the way you are training, but the way you are teaching. But if you are cut off from the class, then she will say, okay, let's read this lesson, and she'll do the basics with you. The class will be maintained.
Right.
So these are many, but we didn't have answers at that time. When it just happened, they called for SOS to me saying, what do we do then? Quickly made these arrangements within groups, and after that we were sorted.
Acha, okay. Makes sense.
So that teacher would not make it look, she'd say, okay, that teacher is having connectivity issues, I'll continue with it.
Got it, yeah.
But it was that teacher's goodwill. She does not get marks for it, or she doesn't get feedback. She's just doing social service by keeping the class.
Okay.
But I think it built some kind of unbelievable tenacity in the students, adaptability. I think there have been paybacks. Unmeasurable, intangible, paybacks.
Right. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Jessica, ma'am. This like culminates the interview. You have been so patient.
You have been patient with my bad network here.
No, ma'am. I know I told you it will take, like 50 odd minutes, but it has gone way above your time. And I'm thoroughly thank you for all the insights that you have got to the table. It will really help us in, formulating and getting the experiences of actual teachers who are on the ground and who are implementing these programs, to get highlighted in reports.
I am coming from an administrative point of view.
Of course.
But recently I was teaching, so I still teach. So that's not an issue.
Yes.